this morning is going to come from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Good morning, church. It is a pleasure to be here, to be with you this morning. Pleasure to have everyone here, and a pleasure to have our visiting speaker and his family with us. It's always great to be a part of a community that has decided not to. His grandson Chang, and so we're glad to have Sacombe and Srinan and Chang with us this morning. He's going to share with us a little bit of the work that's going on at Cambodia Christian Ministries in Cambodia. And just to give you a little... It always works better when you push the button. I apologize. Sacombe Hun, yeah. Srinan Chang.
And Chang is great. Well, I say good morning in Jumriep Su and Khmer. The word is Khmer is a language of Cambodia. And I thank God so much for brought me here. And when I see this family here, I feel in my heart I have big family even here in Oklahoma. And thanks for David and Jean to brought me here. And it's been a blessing from God.
It's a blessing to have you and your family. We're he and his family are the second guest we've had in our new home. Our youngest daughter, Connie, and Lily, the granddaughter, were the first. And we're glad to have Sacombe and his family as our second guest. And we're glad to have you here this morning. Sacombe asked if we would use 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7 as our text for today. And the reason for that, there's a conflict going on in 2 Kings, chapter 6 and 7. The conflict is the Arameans, or some translations say Syrians, are attacking the Samaritans. And one of the best ways to attack a city is to just surround it and not let anything in, not let anything go out, and that sooner or later you'll starve them out. And that's what's going on in as we come to our text this morning in 2 Kings, chapter 6 and 7. The Arameans/Syrians have surrounded Samaria. They've locked it in. Nothing goes in, nothing goes out. And very quickly what happens is the food source inside the city runs out, and people start looking for ways to survive. In this particular instance, the siege has gone on long enough that food has become scarce. And in chapter 6, we're told that a donkey's head sells for, by my math, according to the silver, around $700. And so things you wouldn't normally eat becomes edible when you're in a starvation mode. And so a donkey's head was selling for about $700. I'm not sure if you'd make soup out of that or stew. I'm not sure what you'd do with a donkey's head. But it was. And also...
You raised and born in Cambodia, you know what.
You don't waste any of it, do you?
You don't waste anything.
Yeah. Don't eat anything. We eat frog legs. They eat the whole frog. Nothing goes to waste. There's also in the text in chapter 6, verse 27 and 29, a quarter pound of bird droppings would sell for $45. So things you didn't normally eat, you decide that it's edible. In fact, unfortunately, the siege has gone on long enough that some have resorted to cannibalism. Well, Elisha's here, and Elisha tells the king of Syria, I'm sorry, the king of Samaria, that in 24 hours, things are going to turn around. In 24 hours, you can buy 7 quarts of flour. You will be able to buy 7 quarts of flour for what's going to amount to about $8.95, which isn't cheap, but it's still a lot better than a $700 donkey head. And you can buy about twice that much barley for the same price. And the idea is if you were affluent, you'd make bread out of wheat. If you were poor, you'd make it out of barley. But nonetheless, the king is told by Elisha that within 24 hours, there'll be enough food that it's affordable and it'll be recognizable. It'll be the kind of food that you want to have. That prediction is hard to believe for the king. It's hard to believe for the officer. It's hard to believe for 4 other folks, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, now when I read that and I relate to in Cambodia, I strongly believe that happened.
Yeah. when you see the story here and what the life in Cambodia, it's not hard to believe. So let's the three major players we're going to look at this morning are the king, an officer that the king relies on, and there's 4 lepers that are involved here. And the question is, when we see these three categories of people and how they respond, we can look at them and get an idea of who we are. Who are they and how do we relate to them? Are we more like the king? Are we more like the officer? Or are we more like the 4 lepers? And who do we want to be like? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7. And we're going to start reading from verse 3. In fact, and if you want to, this will show what's on the screen behind us.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so 2 Kings chapter 7, beginning of verse 3. Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we'll die. If we stay here, we'll die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses, and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver and gold, clothes, and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "We're not doing right. We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." We'll stop here for just a minute. But I want you to notice, first of all, that there's a royal officer in here that's hopeless. He has no hope. Even though Elisha has promised things are going to happen, he doesn't have hope. In the midst of the siege, this officer, some translations say Captain Lord, said, even if God opened the floodgates, the siege is so bad, the starvation is so poor, if God just opened the floodgates, there's no way that this thing could be done away with in 24 hours, right?
No.
And also, after the siege, the officer still doesn't enjoy the blessings of God's deliverance because in his doubt, Elisha prophesied he would die, and that happened just as he said it would. The officer is trampled by those who rush to receive the deliverance that God gives. That brings us to Cambodia. I've got the same map up here, Stacom, of Cambodia overlaid over Oklahoma. So tell us how the relationship between Oklahoma and Cambodia.
Well, this story of that second king here is convict in my heart. Cambodia and Oklahoma here is a way, it's 12 hours different. Right now over there is almost midnight, it's 11 o'clock, they're sleeping, and we're working here, we worship God here. They worship. This morning I talked to one of our students. Say, "How you worship?" I said, "It's great. And we pray for you." I say, amen, thank you, pray for me here. So they've been praying for me, and I tell them, I come in, and Jane and my daughters are now coming here to worship with the folk. You know, they do not understand the word folk. So I had to explain the folk in Oklahoma. He said, where is Oklahoma? I tell them, north of Texas, north of Dallas. I said, where is Dallas? Where is Texas? So they don't have no clue. Then I say, well, Oklahoma is just exactly the same size as Cambodia, but the land is very wide open, and I love the fishing and hunting. They have good fish in Oklahoma.
By the way, if you want a pointer, brother, here's a pointer right here for if you want it.
That's okay.
So here's, if you notice, I can't see that one very well. Tulsa, Wichita, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma City.
Okay.
They're about the same size, aren't they?
Yeah, a little about a fraction, about, I say, about less than 50 square kilometers. Different, so about the same size.
Almost exactly the same size.
Exactly the same size. And where I'm growing up, and I'm born and raised in Swai Rieng, similar to very, very low area there, I consider like it's a United States, like a Florida. Surrounded by Vietnam. During the war, when I growing up, you know, talk about I had jealous to my son and my grandchild. When I'm 13 years old, the war started. I lost my teenager life. Growing up under B-52, dropping, fighting all the time in that area.
He was right along the edge of the Vietnam, in the Vietnam War, and some of you served in Vietnam, and right along the Mekong, the Mekong Delta, and also the route. What was the Ho Chi Minh Trail?
Ho Chi Minh Trail.
And so, at 16, you were recruited as a guide, weren't you, in military?
Well, the war started 1970. I'm 13 years old. They call that the village where I stayed, they call the Baker home, the Baker's town, village. So they closed down, shut down the whole school system in the countryside, only school in the city. So when I growing up, I raised as a farmer, and I don't like work in the rice field, very hot. Raising cow and water buffalo and very, very hard to live. So I told myself when I growing up, I had to have education number one. Go to school and get better life. So when the war started, they closed all the school down. So I ran to the city, live with my sister. And my father, he worked as they call similar to JP, like on the court. So he lived in the city, so I left my mom and go live in the city and go to the school. Then go to the school, I don't have money. My father, he don't have no more job because of the war, and so not much food to live on. So I had to join what they call a commando with American training, supporting, when I'm 15 years old. So the training only less than 6 months. In the field, and sent to the fighting in the frontier. But they put me on a special team, get into helicopter. I believe that I have my brother here in Vietnam. He feels exactly. I have they push me, throw me when the first time go into the jungle. They push me out from helicopter and drop me there. They say bye bye. See you next month. How to survive when I'm watching the show that surviving, it's not compared with surviving over there.
Let's take a minute and just kind of look at the difference. The land mass is almost identical. The size of Cambodia, the size of Oklahoma. The difference is there's 4 million people in Oklahoma. There's 16 in Cambodia. And if you and I lived in Cambodia instead of the United States, we'd be less likely to have the middle section, the obese. But it's not because we're eating healthy and getting lots of great exercise. It's just that there's not that much good quality food to eat. And that shows in our life expectancy. We would die 14, almost 14 and a half years sooner if we lived there instead of living here. If we lived in Cambodia instead of America, we'd have a job. There's 93% less unemployment. The only difference, we'd make 93% less than what we make here. 50% less likely to have electricity. 20% less likely to have clean water. 97% likelihood we'd be Buddhist. That's the national religion. That's in the Constitution. It's written that the country is Buddhist by constitutional law. 2% would be Islamist, Muslim. 0.5% maybe Christian, which includes the whole big umbrella of Christianity. And so we talked a minute ago about the officer being hopeless. You know, even if God opened the floodgates, that we couldn't relieve this drought or this siege. Cambodia is a nation in terms of religion and in many ways in terms of just success, hopeless.
Exactly. Well, kind of share with the hopeless.
You're talking about the...
Myself, hopeless. But
in just 1 second, yes, if you don't mind. Yes. All right, we're trying to tag team here. All right, so we've got the hopeless guy, we got the hesitant guy, and that's the king. The king's hesitant. In the midst of the siege, the king doesn't want to get involved. There's a lady asking him for help, and basically he says, I don't know how to help you. If God can't help you, what can I do for you? So he doesn't have much interest in getting involved. After the siege is over with, he still is hesitant to get involved because he thinks it's a trap. And so he decides that he doesn't want to be a part of that. I want you to share now a little bit about your hesitancy to get involved, about why you wound up in the United States. How did you come to be from Cambodia and wind up in the Dallas area?
Well, why I want to share this. I want to read the Second King while I'm in the United States. That scripture there took me a long time to find that to match my life. The word hopeless, why I asked David to want to share this. In Cambodia, when I growing up, there is a little taught by the Bible, you know, Jesus teaching us, don't worry about tomorrow. In Cambodia there, when I growing up, we day by day, where I born and raised. But when the war coming up, people just wait for the days die because no hope. Helicopter, the bullet, the cannon, the firing, every day. I had to sleep underground many, many years. The war started, get into Cambodia in 1968, fight along with the border. I sleep underground from 1968 until 1975. How difficult it is. And just wait for the days die because we don't have no hope to live. And I just see that scripture in 2009.
Good.
See, I become Christian 1981, June 1981. I started church in Cambodia, Church of Christ in Dallas. They put me as the elder. I missed that spot. When Mike Mayhofer go along with me to Cambodia, and he come back, he says, come, you need to go back to Cambodia. I said, no, I'm not going to go back. Well, it's Cambodia, it's need you. More than that, need Jesus Christ. You need to go back. I said, Mike, I'm eagerly try to get out from that hole. I try to forgive the people. I try to forget, but nevertheless, I still have nightmare. I still have hatred in my heart. They killed 16 of my family, my father in the hole with me. I cannot go back. When I read this, I want to share this story. You see that this morning show about 7 minutes, my story, my life. 18 years old in a prison. Nothing to eat. Eat grass, eat everything to be survived. People kill left and right. Many dead people in the field. after war, I come to work at Capitol Phnom Penh. I see that people corruption, I see that people take advantage from the poor, and I join with another political, and they capture me. I had to escape. When I escape, they searching for me and try to find me and kill. So I get married, try to hide, and cannot hide. So I run the place to live. Then I tell myself I need to go to the camp. I heard about the camp and the Cambodia and Thai border. And when I grow up way on the east side, like Florida and California, and no way I can find a way to go to the camp. And when I travel from the city of Phnom Penh, from my home village, took me a month and a half, almost a month and a half. Nothing, just one pair of clothes and my two nephews and a little bit of rice and chicken egg curry with the salty. So when I told myself, see, if I stay, I'm going to die. 50-50 chance to go to the camp. Cambodia is a 98% Buddhist religion. They talk about they not take human life or take animal life or take life. But I see that killing and the fighting, robbing, raping, and murder all kind in the country. When I go across the country, see blood, see dead people, and I say I better hurry go to the camp. When get to the camp, I receive people give me food. People give me clothes. People give me medicine. I ask them, who are you? They say, we are Christian. What mean Christian? We are believing Jesus. Who is Jesus? Say, our Savior. I say, no clue. I never heard that, Jesus' name. I never heard the word Christian. I never heard the word Savior. Now I see the related, the story here. I'm the one of the four lepers. God made that happen. I believe, before I not believe in God, but now I see clearly God spared my life. Many, many times I spoke with dead in Cambodia. I have AK-47 run the whole round. I don't know how they miss it. I've been in the ditch with the dead body there. I've been torching in the pond. I've been coma in the field 3 or 4 days. I don't know who I am. All kinds of disease, malaria, diarrhea, all kinds of sickness. How has been survived? God is playing. I just know that about 10 years ago, 11 years ago. So go by the story that I have blessing that God provide by the Christian people to the camp. And more than that, when I look at that, with the four lepers, they got food, they got gold, they got silver. Then they take and hid it. It's me. When the American took me to Dallas, first thing, I have home to stay. I have food. And more than that, I received salvation in July 1981. I was so blessed. I got nice job. I got car to drive. I got my own business. I got my dream home. America is so great. Had opportunity. So I've been build a nice home in Tawakoni. I love fishing. And I want to get away from Cambodia people. And I have good time. When Mike shared me with this story, I cannot sleep. God been spare me. I received blessing many times. Feel like I'm selfish. When I read Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, I think verse 9 to 16, God patient because he wants everyone to go to heaven. Ask why God when I accept Jesus, why he not take me right away? I have enough of my life here. Enough. When David shared with me about Corinthians 9:19-27, it moved me. I see clearly God keeping me here for take the gospel. When with this story here, I keep the good news, the verse 9, I keep the good news by my, for myself, for my family. It's not right. It's not right. I'm afraid God couldn't be punish me because I see that the good news have over 1,000 before Jesus come. And God's message to take the gospel to everywhere around the world. I have duty, I have the job, the honor from God. So why I'm in Cambodia?
So you escape Cambodia, the Pol Pot regime, where a fourth of the population is murdered. You escape to America, you become a Christian, and then the call is to go back, and you're a little hesitant to go back to Cambodia because you're living the American dream. I mean, everyone in Cambodia would love to have what you have in America, a home, a business, a family, but you feel God's call like the lepers. We can't keep this good news to ourselves to go back and share the gospel in Cambodia.
You know, when I read that another story, like who's that name? He's a prophet. He don't want to go anywhere because Jonas. I find a job. I find saying, Lord, here, I serve you in Dallas. I started church in 1987. That's it. Don't take me back to Cambodia. It's a field open here, many Cambodia and East Dallas. So I have a good soon to serving God there. That's who I am. And try to make my plan, not God's plan, but I cannot hide from God. I go to Cambodia. But now I talk about forgiveness. When I go there, I learn from that, you know, that Jewish Israelite, they when they see the leper or the people sick, that sin. When I see that, you know, who I am, I'm a sinner, then I'm a low caste. But so grateful when I become a Christian, the Lord lift me up. I have honor to serving God. And I use that serving as in Dallas. When I live in Cambodia, when I walk in the killing field, remind me my parent, my great-grandparent, the good news is they never heard. They hopeless. They don't have what to have, and they try to search and go to the peaceful live when they die, but they don't know where heaven, where the salvation, they never heard that term. So I'm so grateful that passage here teaching me, move me, change my life. Take the hatred, change my life to forgive. Even right now in Cambodia, I have many, many partners in the kingdom is my former enemy. Can I share with Dr. Yin or not?
Dr. Yin's on the screen. Tell us about this is Dr. Yin. Here's Sacombe. Here's Dr. Yin. And here's two medical students that are with Dr. Yin.
Yeah, David in the corner there in the bottom there.
Yeah. Well, you tell the story, and then I'll tie that in real quick.
Well, in 2009, that my mayor that showed me this, and I had to go back, and I give my business away to my partner, and I left home here, talk about my home here in Terrell, and go there. I organized medical mission January 2010. We had 25 nurse and doctor community meeting in the evening about 6 o'clock. So one of the doctor, I do not know who he is, and when we get in, that doctor, his name Dr. Yin, I find out later, he said, well, before we get into business, I want to get to know you a little bit before we work together. He said, who are you? I know your name is Sacombe, but why are you coming? I say, because of Jesus Christ. What do you mean, because of Jesus Christ? Because the love of Jesus Christ, why I'm here. Well, I don't know about the love of Jesus Christ, but most of Cambodian, when they escape from the Cambodia, go to America or Europe or Australia, they come for power, come for money, and come for woman. Why you are different? I don't believe you. I say, because I am Christian. Because I fear God. What do you mean, fear God? I don't want to go to hell. So he said, well, I hear about the name of Jesus because my parents are Catholic. But I call myself atheist. But when you say about the love of God, stuck in my head. Can you share about the love of God? Do you have time for that? I say, I'm here, and I'm here for. Then I say, I want to study your Bible, your God Bible. So you can come anytime. He say, no, you pick up the time. I say, no, you pick up the time because you open your clinic, your office, and I don't know what time you are open. Then he pick up 5 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning. I confess, I say, I'm in U.S. for 30 years. I am Christian for 29 years. And that time, I never been studying Bible in the morning. I can go walk to the stand for 4 o'clock in the morning or go leave home 5 o'clock in the morning, go fishing before sunrise. But he teach me a lot. I studied with him 3 months, changed his life. My first converted in Cambodia when I moved back, my former enemy. He served as a surgeon during the war, 1970, and find out he lived exactly the same area where I am. And we fight each other in that time. Now he's side by side. You know what I learned from him after 3 months and another 3 months study from Book of Luke. I like Book of Luke and going to Book of Acts, continue. Then finish that. He says, come, I want to serve God. I said, no, it took me many, many years before I served God. He looked at me, you selfish. I said, no, what means selfish? You keep with yourself. I said, no, I already share. You already got received of salvation. You be with the Lord when you die. No. He asked me, when Jesus come to earth, what he do? I said, first, he chosen disciple to carry the word. What next? He healing through his God. He had compassion to the people because he care about our life. Then he go to Paul. What Paul doing? Take the gospel to everywhere. He adapted Jesus' teaching. Who walked with Paul? I said, Luke. What Luke doing? His position. He said, I am position. You are Paul. I said, no, I am not Paul. Say, you take care of spiritual, I take care of physical. Amazing. He's a brand new Christian, 6-month-old Christian. Taught me something there. And we go side by side, different village, and many things I learned that he had heart from God.
Yeah, Dr. Yen served on the communist side during Vietnam, and they were in the same region, so technically they were enemies that fought against each other, and he's the first one that became loving brothers in Christ and served together. And what Sakoma was saying was he didn't mind getting up at 4 a.m. to go to a deer blind or 5 a.m. to go fishing, but to get 5 a.m., wake up 5 a.m. for a Bible study was something new. And so Dr. Yen wanted to come before he started his rounds, and these are two of his students who are now graduates and both work at the center. Mm-hmm. And Jenny and I were blessed. Our first trip was 2011, and this was our first trip. And here's the big, bald, white American guy who totally stands out in Cambodia, never does fit in. Here's Sakom. There's Dr. Yen, and there's two of his students.
5 o'clock in the morning, I remember that David been still sweating in the morning.
Yeah, I sweat 24 hours in Cambodia. I'm sorry. I don't sweat. I glisten, but I do it for 24 hours a day. All right, so let's look at what the last one, and this kind of brings back what Socom's talking about. We've got the hopeless in the officer who says, no, even if God opened the floodgates, God could never solve it. And when he does, and there's people in Cambodia who are hopeless. We have the hesitant, like the king, who even when the good things happen, they're not so sure. And Socom was hesitant to go back to Cambodia. And once in Cambodia, hesitant to get up at 5 a.m. to do a Bible study. Sometimes I'm hesitant to go to Cambodia. It's a hard trip, and it's a lot of work. But let's look at the last one, and that's the helpful, and those are the lepers. In the midst of the seas, the lepers have life looks pretty bleak. If they stay where they are, they'll starve. If they go into the city, they'll starve. If they go to the enemy, they'll be killed. And so they finally decide, we'll just take our best shot and go talk to the enemy. And when they do, they find that they enjoy God's deliverance. But as Socom's already mentioned, at first they kept the good news of God's deliverance to themselves, and they decided that wasn't right. And that's where Cambodia Christian Ministries has come about, the idea that it's not right to keep God's good news to ourselves from the folks in Cambodia who there's been mission work before, but there's not been a mission work like this in the churches of Christ. And so let's talk for just a minute, Socom, about real quickly, if you can, about some of the work that's going on at the Cambodia Christian Ministries today.
Well, you know, see that medical mission, the term medical mission, I learned that when I go to Cambodia, because many people are sick and people been looking for help. So medical mission help along with the gospel I mentioned by Dr. Luke and Paul. So we go out to village and talk about Matthew 9, that Jesus had compassion. So we copy from Jesus and working along and take the gospel go. So when I see that opportunity, the people of Cambodia, the knowledge of Bible zero when I'm that time, so come up with ideas, start school of preaching. First we start like a 2-year term, then 2 year cannot get ready, so we add to 3 year now. Then we go some area that recruit a student. The first school we started, you know, talk about September 11 here in United States, about in New York, and we convert 19 Muslim on September 11, it's 2009, and put them in the school. It's amazing how God worked through.
On the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks,
yeah, uh-huh.
Convert Muslims and they become soldiers for Christ.
Soldier of Christ. It's amazing how God working through me to go there. Then we learned that the medical mission to take care of the sickness and take care of the spiritual through the medical mission, but the water well important because many people sick because they're drinking in the field water. So the idea to help them reduce all the sickness, we put in water well. So we start water well, and we learn again country because the war, many children is no parent. And even now, after war, 40 years after war, because jobless. So some couple, they have children, even have children, they keep the children with the grandparent, and they go to Thailand, Malaysia, to Japan, go to South Korea to work out there. Then the parent die, and the children is no parent. So we take care of a couple area that supporting the orphan. Then the leader care. This is very, I love it. You know, talk about many Christian come from United States, from Canada, from Australia, go there. They're teaching out of doctrine, biblical doctrine. And people there, they're innocent. They do not know. They think about teacher, they put the word teacher so high. So they respect, they take everything whoever teach. So when they get there, it's like they call themselves pastor. They never been emerged. They call themselves Christian, still live like in the world. I call lukewarm. The Christian on Sunday, and they have ritual day, or Buddhist, they go to the temple. Like we bring all the leader, house church leader, come into the center where I build many cabin. So we try to have them seminar or lecture, teaching them 3 to 4 times a year. I love it because that group, when they learn it and they go back, they teach many all over the country. Right now we have about 17 province, the country, the whole country, 24 province. So we're able to work to 17 province leader care that I bring it in. My goal, next 2 years, we want to cover the whole country.
Excellent. May I fill in just a little bit on some of the details, if that's okay?
Yeah, please.
What I love
You're
about
my translator.
Well, I'm your translator. What I love about the work in Cambodia is it's all organic. It started with medical missions, and from that, it just God led it into preaching school. We had some young men that needed some guidance and some direction, so that goes to this Cambodia Bible School. Young men and women attend that. Do you, any idea how many people have gone through the Cambodia Bible School over the years?
Now it's, the school started September 2010. Now we have 34 graduated.
Okay.
And 4 died with disease, 2 died with the accident. So 6 and 4 go back the old life. So we still have 24. I have 5 work in the center, and the rest go back their own village and have church or work with some other church being exist.
And then as these graduates go back and work in their home village and start home churches there, uh-huh. they realize the need for water, and so the water well comes, and the, while there's a representation to say the water comes from Jesus Christ, and it's a gospel message.
Why we have water well, because there when they go back, it's hard, you know, like we have medical mission to take the gospel along. So the water well is helping the village there. Even both Christian and non-Christian, we not just go there, help the Christian. We have non-Christian to see, talk about we are salt of the world, we the light of the world, salt of the earth. So people say, oh, the Christian generous, have compassion. So we drill the well, then we teaching Jesus water.
Teach the Jesus water. And then out of that, next thing you know, there's somebody saying, well, you guys are generous and caring. We have some kids in our village that are orphan, and we can't care for them. Would you take them? So that develops into orphan care. And then from that, the leader care. And what Scum's talking about, there are 500 house church leaders from all denominations. What happens, a denomination will come over, they'll start, they'll convert one person, they'll start a house church, and then they go back home, and that person's kind of left to their own devices and with very little leadership, very little training. In Cambodia, it's kind of like it was in America 75 years ago. You put up a tent and you say that there's a revival and there's a gospel meeting. There's people that come from all over the country. There'll be people from all over who come to be a part of that, from every denomination, from every group, and they're just thirsty and hungry for the Word of God and for truth. And so there's about 500 house church leaders from all denominations who come and are being mentored by Cambodia Christian Ministries to preach true doctrine, to preach the Bible and just the Bible and not denominational doctrine. And what's interesting is you get one house church leader to understand the importance of just gospel alone and where baptism fits in the plan of salvation. They go home and tell that to their house church. One guy who's converted at the gospel leadership goes back and converts 20, 30 at his house church. And so out of 24 provinces in Cambodia,
yeah.
17 have a representation from a house church leader that's being mentored and loved and taught by Cambodia Christian Ministries. And so these are some of the ministries that are going on with Cambodia Christian Ministries, and none of them were Americans sitting at home or sitting in their board of directors room saying, this is what we need to do. It's on the ground, day to day, what does God put in front of you? And then just dealing with what God puts in front of you. And Sakom has been instrumental in that. Like I said, he went from the plan was to spend 1 month in Cambodia and 11 months back home in your business and your family here.
Yeah.
And now that's kind of flipped and you're 11 months in Cambodia. And like I said, next month you're 11 years into a 5-year commitment, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
November 16.
Yeah, November 16. So the idea here is we can identify with the king, and maybe we do sometime. We're hesitant. We can identify with the leper or with the officer, and sometimes we just don't believe. But I think the idea is that we need to be the lepers in the story, right? We're just one leper telling another leper where to find bread.
Exactly. Yeah. And the baker telling another baker.
Another baker. Joseph read for us out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though he were making his appeal through us. That's what's happening at Cambodia Christian Ministries. That's what you and I need to be, those people who make God makes his appeal through us. And so we are grateful for you and grateful for Sri Nan and Chang for being here today, grateful for the work that's going on in Cambodia Christian Ministries, grateful for a body of believers who decide that we're going to be disciples, not customers. And so we're grateful for you to come here today and share with us the work going on there. Thank you very much.
I'm so grateful, and thank you for having me here today and stay side by side with David. So thank you so much for allowing me to share about the work there, and glory to the Lord.
It's an honor here too. In just a bit, we're going to stand and sing. If there's some way that this body of believers can serve you, please tell us how. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, we'll hear your confession and celebrate with the angels. If you're ready to come back to Christ, we'd love to walk with you on that journey. If you need to see what God's Word has to say about your life and what God's plan is for you, we'd love to open the Scriptures and read with you as well. If you're at home, reach out to us. Let us know what we can do. Let's stand. Let's sing.